sure.
Our beer decorations?
Yeah,
I think we should bring a couple in. We get some from Monks once in a while and from
I think
other places.
Let's make it like cool places that like are out of the norm. I mean, I think the stuff we get from Monks or our local tavern.
Or all the stuff Dion would bring in from like the Budweiser guy.
Yeah, I think like this is authentic as kind of small place.
You don't like Lagunitas. You don't like Founders. You don't like Goose Island. You don't like Sweetwater. That's all I'm saying. Those are the things I could bring in to decorate our place.
Which would all be crap. Keep your goose. Even though it's Chicago, keep your goose.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's shaking his head. I love it.
I'm shaking it. What do you want?
Don't know.
Three Floyds?
I think it would be good.
Bells?
To decorate our space. Which
only
was,
everything out of Illinois is good enough for
which was
this?
The point of bringing that.
Yeah,
so I'm with you.
Yeah.
Have you expressed what you do like that you have hung in our room that is worthy of this team?
No, I think we should kick off. So, welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys podcast. I'm Steve.
I'm Aaron.
In the house. In the house, though. Aaron in the house.
Yes. Traveling abroad is Aaron.
I'm sorry, you got stepped on.
I did. I'm Gavin.
DC.
John.
We're just going, okay. We're going to go code names
initials.
Now. I like the code names.
I'm going to try to stay off the radar. Okay.
We are the Worldwide IT Guys, and we're here for podcast number 5.
Woo!
Thank you very much. So, yes, I talked about this, a week ago.
You talked about a lot of stuff a week ago.
Big Alice Brewing, I brought the sign in today. More importantly, I brought the bottle in today, and I think we should probably... We should open up...
I got that for you.
And I brought it... Well, it's got a cork. I brought it specifically...
A cork?
The way that she wrapped it, because this seemed to be a thing for them.
It
so
this a hobo style.
Yeah,
brown paper
it,
bag.
It definitely looks like...
It's very hobo
cheap
style.
Homeless drinking.
Yeah, hobo.
Which was... Yeah, they wrapped it specifically.
Ooh. Mm. Is it cold?
It's a little label. It is cold.
Nice.
I filled it.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's got a little string holding the cork in, as opposed to the Grolsch, you know,
right.
Wire.
Pop it. That's a nice
thing.
Touch.
Just classy. Pop it.
Totally classy.
Right,
what? You gotta,
right in Eric's face.
You got to untie it, don't you? So we are going to pop it into Eric's face.
Yep.
I don't know what that means.
Yep.
No. It had to be said again.
Ready? Hang on.
No. Thanks very much.
I want to hear it.
Nope.
Do
I can't.
It.
I can't.
Pull it.
I can't get it out.
Yeah, Steve's working the cork out
now. I think we need
work
a corkscrew.
Oh, man.
I just can't get enough. Of a grip.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do cross-handed. Does cross-handed work better?
Maybe you need
backhand,
to grunt a little bit.
Overhand.
You know, pretend you're a tennis player. Just really...
Butterfly grip. Who's got a good grip for this sort of thing?
We don't have a corkscrew.
We have to have a corkscrew.
Really?
There's just not enough of a...
Sean would know a way to get it open if you were here. You'd MacGyver it.
Why isn't Sean here?
Sean has family commitments.
Family man. That's kind of surprising.
No.
We have nothing to get this open? Well, this was an anticlimactic.
No,
so
no, I think
maybe we can, yeah, let's just all pass it around the room.
We'll pass it around.
We're
going to
loop
pulling
we're
it,
lose.
So we,
shot.
We can continue talking.
Meanwhile, we have a little sampler because I only brought one of these bottles. I talked about this earlier. This was the most expensive bottle of beer I purchased because I had to pay for baggage to get it here. So, $25.
As Dion puts his sheath on the cork.
I'm going to get this shit out.
We might wreck a few laptops.
Yeah.
Make it rain.
He's shaking it up nicely.
Definitely stain the carpet. We're definitely going down with this one.
This is probably going to be the worst thing we've ever had in our lives.
I'm loosening it, trust me. So, what else you got?
What else do I have? So, John was talking about making this the decorated room for this sort of thing. So, we have the sign, we have the bottle, we'll try that eventually.
Big Alice, did you mention that already?
Meanwhile, it's Big Alice Brewing. I'm not gonna mention it again.
Oh, sorry.
So, that's what it was. So we've broken the cork. We've broken the cork. Thanks very much.
Oh, that's great.
Now we really need a corkscrew.
Yeah. You know what you can do is you can actually push it into the bottle.
Nope.
Which I've done before.
No.
Well,
let's not do that.
The theory was that everybody was going to have a shot at it, but
sure.
Dion may have screwed that. So
I'm stronger than I realize.
Your teeth are stronger than they realize.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I said I was unhappy with how much I talked last week, so I'm not going to talk a lot this week, but I am
great.
Going...
Just drop all your topics that you want us to talk about, and we'll move forward. All
right. So somebody share the story of our first project hiccup. There, I'm done. You guys.
Discuss. The million-dollar project hiccup?
So we had a project that, yes, was over the threshold of spend.
Yeah.
That requires a lot more eyes on it.
As soon as you tag it with, it's going to cost X amount of dollars, everybody's got to see what is going on, right?
Somebody may have broken
that
cork, John.
Oh, John. So, good job there. Way to bring a corkscrew to a beer tasting.
Yep.
Yep.
So, anyway, our process, and for those of you that...
Don't bore us with your entire process.
This is a fun little quiz.
No PM3 crap. Come on.
Well, that was probably
I'm going to save
more
you
than
from yourself.
Talk. No, yeah. I'm not going to get into that.
All right, good.
How many gates do we have in our gating process?
Minus two.
Seven? Like the seven gates of hell?
I'm not a PM. Why don't you ask the PM in the room?
He already answered.
12.
How many?
He said 12.
So, Gavin, you said seven?
Make sure you pour that right by the microphone. It's
going
to sound
silly. I'm going with John's answer.
You like John's answer?
Yeah. I have John's ass on my face. I have no answer.
Thank you.
John is correct. 12 gates. There are 12 gates. And there are a lot of different things.
So John poured four beers, and there's five people in the room. I'm the only one left out.
From register to mobilize to develop deploy to realize. So there are all these different stages. And there are a couple of key gates that need a little bit of attention. And so the thing that gets me is, like, you fill out this big spreadsheet, and they evaluate who should really care about this based on the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And we submitted our one big project that might get this kind of attention. One group looks at it and says, this is a project that is clearly not going to involve us. We don't, you know, need to get involved. We don't have any skin in the game. You're not asking for us to do anything. Have at it. Be on your way. We're good to go.
Big Alice, by the way. Nice. Sorry. Go ahead.
Meanwhile,
be on your way.
Group number two looks at it and says, we don't have any involvement. We don't need anything from you guys. Blah, blah, blah. But no, you're not going to pass because we don't like your documentation. We don't like what you have not told us about this thing.
Sounds fine.
There's no rhyme or reason to this.
How many?
Just don't like it.
Do you have any idea of what sort of volume of projects they're seeing these days?
I have
besides us, because I know that we're playing by the rules, but how many of the other companies are doing the same things that we're doing?
Well, I can tell that there are two very large companies in the group, one of which is still organizing things, and they aren't pushing through a lot of volume. But the other one has, like, almost 200 projects, active projects in the system, and they're all going through. Now, at what stage, how much work is involved? I saw a lot early. Of late, I haven't seen a lot. So is your point they're bored, and so they're going to say something?
Are they overwhelmed, and so they're just, like, flag it, at, you know, push it to somebody else. I don't have time to deal with this. Let's just...
But that's the thing. I'd be perfectly happy if they say, you know what, this doesn't look right. Here's what you need to do. Contact these guys. Have this document composed.
Yeah.
Spell this out. They just flat out said no. They didn't say, here's what you need to do next if you want your project to fly. They just said, I don't see anything here. No. What do I do with that? So I immediately sent my note back saying, thanks very much. I'm glad to know that we have some issues with our documentation or our project. Could you maybe tell me what my next steps are? Could you give me a little lead on what I should do next? Who should I talk to? I'll get on the phone. You guys can help me. I'll help you. What's next? There was just nothing.
So are you sending to a time zone that is end of day? And so they were just done for the day. And maybe you're waiting for tomorrow?
That is entirely possible. But I got this. Yes, I got this at what would have been the end of the day in Europe. If it came from Europe, that's fine. But my team is in New York that I coordinate with. That's who informed me that this was going on.
So, like,
and I sent a note back to August, that team saying,
September?
Help.
Yeah.
Where do I go from here?
So you're dealing with in-country, which is what I was curious about.
But what I said at lunch is what we need to do is we need to break up projects into smaller pieces so they fly under the radar.
Yeah.
So, like, we have a big project that's worth this million dollars. Let's break it into five projects worth $200,000.
It's kind of like an installment plan.
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah. So
this goes back to the days.
You did math pretty good there, by the way. Nice.
Thank you.
John, this goes back to the days when I was starting out at this organization. So this is a long time ago, where we couldn't like justify a full PC. So we would buy $50 components to build a PC.
Like graphics card?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You probably bought it from CDW, which Sean probably sold you because that's where he used to work. So just
that 50 Sean, was wrong. Sean. Yeah. 500. Yeah, 500 Sean. Was our number, and we couldn't do it. It's fine. It's you know, it's Dion, so what am I going
to
do?
You're supposed to scream at him. This is what I enjoyed most of that last podcast. Name.
Ah, beep.
Oh, God. You are just incapable of breaking the pattern.
I'm going to say his last name at least three times today.
Right.
So you know.
It's fine. You're editing it. So that's my life.
Your life sounds like a lot of fun right now. Yes. You've been in spreadsheet hell since I've known you.
So one thing I want to correct about.
Thanks.
About one thing in our organization that was kind of let go. Last week I traveled a lot.
Oh,
and I spent a lot of time in airports. Mm-hmm. And we used to have this service called iPass.
Really? You're going to bring iPass up?
Yeah. Because it was such a great, I mean, when you're...
Why don't you explain what it is?
Oh,
so
man.
iPass is something that our organization had that allowed us to use our credentials to log into, let's say you're at an airport, and you could log into the Boingo network for free. And you get free Wi-Fi. And it was a
right, so you see the partners, right?
Right.
You get on any Wi-Fi. Hotel Wi-Fi would have this. Airport Wi-Fi would have this. You know, free Wi-Fi hotspots would show up, and they'd say, "Hey, are you a roaming partner? And here's your partner. iPass was one of those."
And your login was very—you could figure it out. You knew your password. You could get in. It was great, and you used it a lot because you traveled.
The thing is, I mean, the prices of internet at airports and hotels when you travel
can be ridiculous.
And I was unfortunate enough to spend like 12 hours at an airport, and the only Wi-Fi that was available was an iPass-enabled network. And it's like, I tried a couple times, and no luck. We no longer support iPass. Which
that was this year.
So
it's like, if they want to save our organization, there's a lot of people that travel. I mean, a lot of important people travel. Not that they'd actually look for an active iPass.
No, they're just expensive.
Exactly.
Which is what you did, right?
Totally.
So
no, but still, I mean, it was a nice for people that knew how to use it.
It was a good service.
It was a good
service. The problem is, I think, what we just said. People couldn't be bothered. They saw an option. They subscribed to the option. They said, "Oh, sure, I'll buy 10 hours of this, even though they're only going to be in the airport for two," and it would cost them. Meanwhile, the larger organization had a deal where we were buying X number of hours with iPass. So we never used the X number of hours.
Right.
So we were paying for that, and we were paying for whatever
Bill
was doing.
I will say, in my opinion, because I've worked here for a long time, I've dealt with iPass for a long time, the failure in iPass is the fact that iPass never ran by itself and told you on your smartphone or your computer that iPass was available to get you on Wi-Fi.
that's it needs to pop up and basically say, hey, you want to be on free Wi-Fi? Just give us your username and password, and you're on.
Right. Didn't that sort of work on a PC?
I don't think so.
With that iPass Connect client they had?
I never experienced it. I did install that application. I knew how it was.
We already have you on record as Mac boy, so how could you possibly?
No. But I knew how the Windows worked a while ago. But at the end of the day, the app on your phone, whether it was Android or iOS, and the app on your computer never popped up and said, "Hey, we can get you on Wi-Fi, connect," or "Save your credentials and connect," and you were just on Wi-Fi. I think the failure was at the iPass level, and that's why people bailed on it.
I totally disagree.
iPass could have been, their fate was in their own hands.
No, iPass still exists and is probably used by many around the world.
Just our organization.
It's the problem is we didn't communicate it well, and I actually had this conversation.
You shouldn't have to communicate it. It should be built into the app.
We don't have apps.
Your local IT administrator should install iPass on your Windows or Mac or your iOS or Android.
It's not an app anymore.
Yeah, it's not
but
an
it
app.
It should have been, and you would have been fine.
Let me explain something. So I had this conversation with the technology person who may or may not be responsible for renewing or re-upping this service.
Oh, boy.
And I could be misremembering this, but I thought he told me that there was a few reasons why this didn't work out, but one of them may have been somebody in Europe may have just sort of thought that this was good for them to just use as their home internet.
Her name was Caitlin.
And so somebody
first name.
Everybody's
first
stop talking
name.
Right now.
Her name
stop
was
talking.
Caitlin.
Stop talking.
What? Well, I think so.
Nobody said.
So I think there was somebody who
yes.
was maybe improperly communicated to of how to use this service, and they just sort of assumed maybe they lived above a Starbucks and could just always get on this way.
Exactly.
And so that burned probably lots of minutes for the company. But I totally think, like many things in this organization, we as an IT organization have not done a very good job educating our user base on how to use some of the tools that we purchase. And that goes for sometimes this group included, but also the greater group of IT. And iPass is a very simple system. It's not maybe as popular as seeing Boingo have a Boingo username and password, although maybe that's different depending on where you are in the world. But putting in your company X username and password is pretty easy if you know iPass. That's a pretty similar thing or interesting, easy thing to remember.
I was flagged as one of the top 10 users of iPass, along with that Caitlin user, number one. Oh. I was up there, and they questioned why I'm on the top 10 list, and I said it's because I travel and I'm in hotels
and I know it exists,
and yeah, you know it exists,
and I use it instead of spending a lot more money to pay for airport and hotel
data roaming.
But you look just like Caitlin. It was like, what are you doing at your house?
I almost wish I did. Anyways,
I'd have a hard time leaving the bedroom.
Anyway,
I'm not making a comment.
But how hard are you trying to not make a comment right now?
Really hard.
Yeah. So, but I'd be curious to know our data roaming costs for cell phone usage, international data roaming. If maybe we fix that for some users.
Well, okay. I got called on the carpet.
Yep.
When I was traveling to New York last, by the guy who manages all of this, because I use data roaming off my phone. Now I use tethering, right?
Right.
But I use it every day. I get on a train in the morning, and I use it on the train in the morning. And I get on a train in the evening, and I use it on the train in the evening. Because there is no option, there's no train Wi-Fi on my line, I use it every day. And I use it to work every day. I'm not watching Netflix movies, but I think they think I'm pretty much just spending all my time streaming video because I was, you know, man, I'm constantly seeing you hit the limit. I'm like, yeah, I'm constantly hitting the limit. I'm sorry. This is something that I do. Now, that allows me not to get home and sit down and open my laptop and do what I was doing before I had this option. And not be with my family and not have dinner and, you know, participate with my family. I use that. You know, it's a good hour and a half with both ends a day that I get in on top of my work day. So am I doing the wrong thing? You know, it's just the cost of the service. It's the reality of the service. And to be fair, you know, they kind of said, well, can I look at other options for you? I said, absolutely. I'm tethering with my phone because it's convenient. If you want to give me a cheaper service hotspot, I'll go with a cheaper service hotspot. But if it doesn't work, guess what? I'm going to fall back to tethering.
But I wouldn't think that would be the inexpensive service compared to, well, I was thinking of international roaming.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is like,
right.
You know, ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous.
Every totally time, ridiculous. Like, every time our higher-ups go to a convention in June overseas, they leave their roaming on. And
clearly.
It is the highest expense of probably the trip is their data roaming charges.
Right, but we do have a deal with one service, a U.S. service that
right.
is a deal
right.
for ostensibly, you know, unlimited international roaming. Now, I don't know what we pay for that. I'm sure it's not cheap
yeah.
and all that fun stuff, but that doesn't account for the people in Asia and the people
yes.
in Europe and, you know, what deals do they have. I know what
yeah.
we
right.
have in the U.S.
Right.
So, it's not an inexpensive thing.
I'll be curious if it slowly disappears in the U.S. Did you guys see that T-Mobile is now advertising that they for a little while now have had much better international rates, but they also now extended coverage to Mexico and Canada is considered as domestic calling data or whatever. So if you're either calling those places or traveling within those places,
hmm.
it's American. It's no different.
That's cool.
Which I thought is great, which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny when, so I live in the Pacific Northwest, and there are times when you're traveling around and you can be close to the Canadian border or near water, and your phone will just jump to international, and it's just like, gosh, well, do I use
you
my
can say
phone?
Shit, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
But anyway, fun known fact of being near the border.
Yeah, well, I think we've talked about this before. Like, we're in Chicago, and on the other side of Lake Michigan, there's like horrible cell service in a certain band. And like, I see people walking. Like, if you're on the road, you're good. And then the road to the beach is kind of dicey. And then if you're on the beach, it can be good. But you'll see people on the beach literally walk to about halfway, knee-deep, waist-deep. And at that point, they're like, yeah, they're talking on the phone because that's where they get Chicago cell service.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
It's like your lake in Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
New
the
Buffalo.
Beach in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of fun. So what have you done? You've taken some photos of the bottle.
So I checked in the Big Alice, which is great, by the way. The whiskey barrel-aged Queen's Honey Brown. Oh, if you can get it, grab it. I give it a 4.25. It's,
well, it's high for
really good.
Mr. Dion.
You can't get
really
it.
Really good.
I got one of the last three bottles they had.
It's worth it. Like, it's really good.
And this guy, I talked about this. This guy, he's a creator. He doesn't like recreating the same thing. It's like, at some point you're going to have like a winner and people are going to want that. And that's the cash cow.
Yes.
And then you go and create and do whatever you want. He goes, nah, that's not what I do.
He's going to do that, and then he's going to raise the price 550%.
Yes.
Per bottle.
That's related to something that happened in the news, yes?
Yes. We're just talking about the...
There's our shirts, baby.
Oh, nice.
Dion's showing off some shirts. Okay.
Just got printed. Literally. Hot off the press.
Off the press.
Excellent.
Anyways.
No, it's been ridiculous this past week where some young hedge fund kid bought a pharmaceutical company. He's like 32 years old, and then took a drug that was only $7 for, was it cancer patients or people that really need it? And it's like...
I thought it was AIDS patients.
AIDS patients. You're right, exactly. And raised the price by 5,000% overnight. So went from... What?
But there were no competitors, right?
No competitors.
This
so,
is a guy who understands
so
supply and demand.
Exactly.
Said, hey.
And it went from like $17 a pill to $750 a pill. It's like,
yes,
it's just like jag-offs like this. It's just
so here's what happened. He did get called out.
Oh yeah.
People did recognize what he had done, and supposedly he's going to make the call to lower it back down to a reasonable price. It's not going to be as cheap as it was.
Reasonable being $500.
This was literally today. So what happened was, sometime last week this happened, the hedge fund dude bought the drug, jacked it up to $750. Everybody noticed it. It was like less than $15 a pill before. Today or yesterday, he basically said, I'm gonna lower it. Sorry, I'm a douche. I don't care. I will do the right thing. And he made some sort of amends to the fact that he was being an asshole.
I saw a report where a lot of companies actually do this.
This happens all the time.
They buy
drugs
and they jack them up like 200% because they can.
Well, and here's what they think they're doing. They think they're screwing the insurance companies because everybody's got insurance. So therefore, insurance companies are going to have to pay these large fees. You and I will pay our deductibles. We'll pay our co-pays. We'll pay our whatever. And it won't be that bad for us. But insurance companies are going to get screwed. So these guys think they're screwing the system that they've joined to try and take advantage of.
So
but eventually, for the people who don't have health insurance or not good health insurance, they're really screwing them. He said he won't charge $750. He's going to lower it to something. I don't remember the number.
So here's
he hasn't said yet.
The latest. This is whether it's worth it or not. This is from a money news site. Pharmaceutical company Turing is the name of the company. Increased the price of a drug called Daraprim from $13.50 to $750.
Yeah.
That's per pill. The CEO, Martin Shkreli, if I'm pronouncing that right.
This looks like a prick if you look at it.
Yeah, I believe his last name was Douche.
He changed it to Shkreli. Yeah.
Quickly became the focus of public anger. Go figure. The over 4,000% increase caught the eye of Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 price gouging, yada, yada, yada. The most hated man in America is now what they're calling Shkreli.
Oh, so long as the line guy?
What? Trump? What?
Shkreli said he has heard the outcry. We've agreed to lower the price of Daraprim to a price that's more affordable, whatever that means.
Hasn't said yet.
He didn't say what affordable would be, blah, blah, blah. He's defending himself. We needed to turn a profit, yada, yada, yada. So, what's he saying here? They don't deserve a drug that's 70 years old, he said it about Daraprim, adding, I know what we're doing is right.
I mean, his claim was that he was going to invest in more research and development with his profits.
To get a better product.
Right. His, there was a doctor that came out and said this claim pill did not need to be
this
approved.
Pill has been around since 1958. People are actually benefiting from it. I'm going to jack up the price so I can invest in the R&D to make this pill better.
Oh, yeah, he's a tool.
Bullshit.
Oh, totally.
Bullshit. 1958, nobody wanted to invest.
I look like that.
You're a tool.
Pharmaceutical companies basically wrote this pill off as it's already working, it's already cheap enough, nobody needs to reinvest in this, nobody needs a generic of this, it's perfect. Done. Let's move on to something else that'll be beneficial for mankind.
Why isn't there a generic of it if... It's old.
It's own generic. It's already cheap enough for it to be its own generic.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. This guy took a generic drug that nobody invested in the past 30, 40, 50 year, whatever the math is, 70. And said, listen, I'm just going to charge $750 for this. Insurance companies are going to take 75, 80% of the price. You're going to pay almost the same amount of money. Therefore, everybody's happy. And he... Like, no, listen, you're just a douche for jacking up the price. So that's what happened.
So here's my question. I'm gonna take this. The other story of late in the news is what Volkswagen has done.
You're gonna jump ship.
What I'm trying to figure out here is this guy took over this company and just said, hey, this is me. I'm here to make money. There's no competitors to this. Boom, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to use all this as investment capital. So they were honest, about it.
Not honest.
Now, what did Volkswagen do?
They weren't honest.
Volkswagen, and
Volkswagen wrote code to hack emission code to make whatever engine they put out look like it was the most efficient engine on the planet.
Only when hooked up to sensors to have a test.
Okay, sure.
So, totally. So who's worse? This guy who's like, this is who I am, this is what I do, I'm here to make money, and I'm going to use this money, and I'm going to invest it. Or the company that goes, we're selling you guys these really cool, efficient cars that do all this great stuff.
High-performance cars, yeah.
Clean diesel, it's this, it's that. Meanwhile, it's total bullshit.
Clean diesel means bullshit total to somebody who's bullshit. Working off of a fixed income who needs to make sure that they're getting the immune system pills to keep them at a level so they can survive with their other pills. The devil is the hedge fund guy who raised the price to $750. Volkswagen, who cheated the system, should get fined for at least 15 years back.
Well, the problem with Volkswagen is not the fine and the initial, you guys screwed up, that backlash
right,
is not
so
going to be
figure out
nearly
a number
as bad
and say,
as the consumer
hey,
backlash.
Volkswagen, you tried to cheat code for what we know for sure is X amount of years. We're going to fine you X amount of dollars.
Yeah, you're not hearing me. That doesn't matter. What matters is the guy who just bought a Volkswagen and was going to be a Volkswagen buyer for the next 20 years is going, fuck them.
The brand loyalty.
Look at what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what's the benefit? But what hurts humanity the most?
Humanity.
Fuck humanity.
Profit, baby.
On that.
Oh,
it's doomed anyway.
Oh, Gavin.
We're talking with a guy with four skulls and crossbones on his shirt.
Yeah, Chicago instead flag. Of a Chicago flag, he's got skulls and crossbones.
Is that the shirt you bought at the concert?
No, I got to bring that in, though.
Can
that one says
that?
Loose
wear that sometime?
It.
You totally need to wear that.
no, I see, you're absolutely right. The like benefit to society and humanity and all that fun stuff aside, I'm talking about just these two business operators.
Who's the douchiest douche of the two? I still think it's the hedge fund guy who jacked up the cancer pills. But I will say this. For Volkswagen to say, we are going to F the emissions people because it's all bullshit anyway, like, part of me is like, it's pretty smart. How long did you get away with that? Like, 15 years? You're going to pay a fine and you still are going to make money off that? That seems sounds like a good bit. In the world of our corporate America capitalistic economy, that sounds like good business to me. Just like break as many fucking rules as you can and then just pay the fine when you get caught.
Yes.
That's the rule. That's the rule. Everybody just breaks as many rules as they can. They pay the fine when they get caught.
But, Dan, the PR backlash on this is not going to be
small. Are you kidding me? The Volkswagen Beetle, which is so cute, and every girl's going to want to still buy it. They're not going to fucking care.
Have you bought your daughter one yet?
In 10 years when she wants it, and she's like, oh, my God, it's the only car I want, Daddy. And I'm like, all right, fine, I don't give a shit.
Absolutely.
Hitler created that car. They fucking busted emissions for, like, 15 years, but it's the only car you want to drive.
I need to fact check this one.
I really don't care.
But my sweetie wants it.
But my daughter, who's my only child, wants it.
You know,
sure.
I'm pretty sure you have a three-car garage. That means the Camaro's going on the street away.
Oh, that's not going to work. It must have been pretty fun to write that code, though, and do that project to screw the test.
So it's like a Friday afternoon. Like,
how
so
dark
God.
Are you, Gavin? Jesus.
No,
God,
I mean,
you want to be anonymous, don't you?
No.
Friday afternoon in Germany. So. So, guys, we have a little project to talk about.
From a technical perspective, it's very interesting.
America's got this cute thing called ODB2. We want to fucking bypass that, skip all the emission shit, and then blow past all the taxes that we have.
So how done. I don't know as much about this story. How much worse are they polluting than what you should be if you pass the emissions test?
So what happens is when the cars when the cars are plugged into emissions tests,
this is great.
The car senses that it is plugged into a test, and it goes into a certain mode that
pollutes less.
Outputs.
Yep.
Oh wow!
Super clean, super clean, super clean. We're super clean, super clean, super clean.
So it like hurts performance to do that though.
Or
something.
Exactly. So when it's unplugged, it goes really fast and puts out a lot of emissions.
And the CEO quit.
Yes,
that's news to me. So
no, he quit. I knew that.
11 million cars worldwide are affected by this.
And they're already setting aside billions and billions of dollars to pay for fines and...
Which I promise you will be cheaper than all the emission shit they had to put into the cars.
I don't know. It affects Audis. It affects...
No. They'll pay it and it won't make a difference. I promise you. They'll still make and do whatever they need to do, but...
It's... So... 20 times, so the original estimates were 20 times less than the 11 million diesel cars. So they thought it was 20 times less than 11 million that was the problem. No, it's bigger than they thought. The company has said that it will set aside 6.5 billion euros, that's $7.3 billion, the equivalent of a half a year's profit, to cover the cost of making cars comply with the standard.
That's to fix the cars only. There's fines and there's criminal investigations now in the U.S. against them.
Which there should be.
Yeah. Who was just making a stink about more persecution for white-collar crimes? Did you hear something about this? This was a headline I thought I saw recently.
Donald Trump?
It wasn't Donald Trump.
Definitely not him.
But I thought it was somebody who was like, you know what, it's time we start putting jail time behind, you know, business crimes.
Real crime like this. Yeah. It's real crime.
I don't remember where I saw it. Perhaps it went nowhere, which is probably the truth.
Most likely.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, this is the quote here. I think this is the bigger thing. Half a year's profits to fix the problem, whatever fines they're going to throw at them, whatever, you know, CEOs ousted, criminal charges pending, all of that stuff. This is the line that I think is going to hit them the hardest. It is an outrage that VW would take advantage of its consumers by purposely deceiving them on their mileage in diesel vehicles.
Yeah.
As the corporate culture in what is an automobile society shrunk so low that we can't be up front when our products are defective or when we're trying to gain competitive advantage. It is a PR debacle. Now, it'll be an interesting study to watch. What happens to Volkswagen?
So,
where's their share price go?
I will tell you this right now. I mean, I think people who like Volkswagen pre, during, post, will say, they cheated, they pay their price, I still like their car, I'm going to buy it. I don't think they're going to face any backlash.
Oh, I totally disagree.
I don't think they're going to face any bad.
There will be a segment of the population. No. The question is that 20% that
nobody
say,
knows
I don't
this
care?
Shit. Nobody gives a crap.
Is it six? Oh.
Is it all over the news? I haven't seen it on any morning news station. I haven't seen it on any daily news station.
It's been in the papers.
Nobody reads papers. But well, what I'm telling you is the people who buy Volkswagen already think Volkswagen is safe. They don't give a shit about emissions, even though they're cheating, even though they're doing whatever. I say give it 2 years, nobody, it'll blow over, and they'll be right back to where, oh, Volkswagen is Volkswagen, Jetta, Beetle, whatever, and they'll buy what they need to buy.
You know, it's ironic that...
The emission cheats will be forgotten, and this will blow over in no time.
It's on the front page of the New York Times and CNN.com right now.
And nobody gives a shit, I promise you.
No one reads those papers.
Well, check the Wall Street Journal, hold on.
It was ironic that this hit on Sunday morning... And the Emmys were Sunday night,
and
all these commercials ran for Volkswagen during the Emmys.
I want more Big Alice.
About Volkswagen being so emissions friendly, like being green, and it was the biggest in the ad world and Ad Week and everything, just saying how.
If it wasn't such a big part of their positioning right now.
Right, their campaign.
You know, whatever.
So do you think an advertising company like maybe ours, if Volkswagen were to come to us and say,
I think there's an opportunity. I think every agency should be knocking on their door going, we'll handle this.
Yeah, okay. So
here's our
concept. And that's probably the truth. But do you think there's any agencies out there that would say, I don't want to work for that kind of company?
Never again. They'll say we want to rebuild it.
I honestly think a Volkswagen commercial year and a half push of we've been the safest cars for 40 years. We've been the most fuel efficient for whatever years. We've been this for 40 years. Done. Like, whatever they can factually prove, their ad campaign will win. It has nothing to do with
and we'll all believe it because they said it, wait a minute.
Advertising is key. It'll be during the Super Bowl. It'll be during the Emmys. It'll be during the Grammys. It'll be during the Oscars.
Who took BP after the oil spill? get those guys on it? It's a good question.
Nobody remembers that.
God, we all love BP right now, even though they fucked our country.
I'm so glad you said.
So good.
I'm so glad you didn't say we're the safest car since Adolf Hitler. Because I thought that's what you were going
to
say.
Well, another fact check.
Really safe cars. So moving on.
So moving on. All right, I want to go back to the traveling. We were talking about.
No.
What? You want to talk about cars?
No, I want to talk about.
Of course, he wants to talk about cars.
No, this one you like. This one we were talking about at lunch. All right, real quick. I have. So yeah. Maybe this exists already, but we were talking at lunch about some business traveling things, and we were talking a little bit about this before. And so, have you guys heard about
expensing
like,
lunch and beer and
yeah.
whatever?
So you,
go ahead.
Have you seen? You know, there's phrases like first world problems, white people problems. Have you
Obama. Seen, thanks, Obama.
Something like. Okay, an example would be
yes, I.
So you know the expression,
the concept of first world problems.
Yeah. So I kind of think maybe we should have, if it doesn't exist already, we should start tweeting business traveler problems. So today we were hearing about some people griping about hotels, and the question is, what were we griping about? Like the cleanliness or something like this. And Dion and I were having a side conversation about the various things we could possibly be talking about, like my pillow wasn't fluffed enough or something like this. But like I feel as a business traveler, not the extreme business traveler, that sometimes the grievances people have when they travel for business or what they feel like they
right.
can expense
right.
is superhuman.
You're absolutely right. For example, John had a minor delay on Friday. It was like, what's the big deal?
Well, 12 hours in the airport sort of sucks. I'll give him that one. But, you know, people who, you know, look at a tap list and say, they only have $25 glasses of whiskey. What am I even doing here? That, to me, business traveler problem.
Oh, man, what we were saying at lunch, though. It was,
So, anyway, that may be a side project. We'll link to my Twitter account that has business traveler problems. We need a fun hashtag.
Quick story about my problems.
Oh, shit. Somebody cancel my iPass account.
Yeah.
Hashtag business traveler problems.
We have a Worldwide IT Guys Twitter account, and I think we could hashtag it.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm traveling this week. I will try to come up with some grievances.
Let's hashtag that shit.
But right. a quick story that caused the start of my traveling problems. Sorry, Dan. Oh, thanks. So United Airlines said when I got to the gate that your plane is defective. It's broken.
Yeah.
And we're trying to fix it.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Go on.
So we're trying to find parts to fix it. So please wait.
So what are they going to do?
So we waited for an hour.
It went to.
And then they said, you know what? We think this plane is safe enough to fly it across town to the other airport in New York. So you can get on another plane.
Wait, this happened?
Yes, this happened last week.
So we have a broken plane, and it can't make it to Chicago, but it can make it,
but it can't
to
make
New Jersey.
It's good for about 25 miles.
So it was a problem with the brakes, and they're like, well, we trust it on dry land. No problem. It's dry in Newark. But it could rain in Chicago, so we don't feel safe flying there. So
this is fantastic.
They said, we're going to fly you guys 20 minutes over Manhattan to Newark.
Give you a nice view.
You're going to land, and then you're going to get on another plane and fly to Chicago.
That's
And
ridiculous.
I was like, this is the most messed up itinerary I've ever seen in my life, or heard of in my life.
I loved that. We have a broken plane. So we're going to take off and land at a different airport so that we can take off and land with a safe plane.
With a better plane.
It's not broken.
It's just broken.
Sort of broken.
It's broken.
It can limp.
So the captain said, we would never fly, you know, it's against the law to fly on an unsafe plane. We'd never do that.
Right.
Like, we'd never fly to Chicago with a bad plane. But we'd fly to Newark. Newark, there's no laws there, I guess.
You got some maintenance guy out there, like, watering down the runway in Newark going, what, am I not supposed to be doing this?
Hot!
Not supposed to water the plants today? Come on.
Keep the dust down.
So, I actually made it home.
You made it. That's good.
Luckily.
Did you tweet business traveler problems?
I
may die tonight?
The thing is, I wanted
hashtag.
I mean, United has so many problems right now with their CEO leaving, and it's like they never even see my tweet about this debacle. But
how many drinks and snacks did you get, though?
Well, the thing is, I got transferred over to another airline. I decided not to wait for the United flight, and I went to another airline, and I went over to another terminal. And they're nice. They rolled out a card of basically just everything they had in the plane. It's like, okay, here's peanuts and chips for you guys.
Were they blue chips?
I ate the peanuts. I'm not sure.
JetBlue. JetBlue, everybody talks about their famous Delta, blue tortilla chips.
It was Delta.
But I like the... I like the hashtag.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it.
We should.
I'll give you guys, you know, access to the Worldwide IT Guys Twitter account, because I think that's where that would be perfect.
What's the password? Just give everybody the password.
Just give it to them?
Yeah.
We'll just change it to Business Traveler Problems.
Let's make it the same password as all our production accounts.
I wanted to spend 90 seconds on Yogi Berra, for a lot of people, by the way. I have four quotes. I think it'll take... no time. I think we can move on as soon as I'm done with him. Yogi Berra passing at 90, I think he's an icon in American heritage and history, and anybody who knows baseball, I think he's worth mentioning on this call. I just want to bring this up.
It's not a call. It's a podcast.
I feel like it's a call.
You're not swearing enough for it to be a call, Dion.
So was it 90 seconds of dead air? Is that what you went
for? The four quotes I want to bring up, which I think are... the four quotes I liked were, baseball's 90% mental, the other half is physical.
That's pretty funny.
That's a Yogi Berra. Yeah. Yogi Berra-ism. It's perfect. I love these. So the other one I loved was, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. these are things I grew up hearing... loving. I'm in Chicago, and this is a New York thing, right? So,
it's the only thing I like about New York. Joking.
The other one was, I want to thank everyone for making this night necessary. So it's everybody who made this happen, yeah, thanks. I wouldn't be here if you didn't make this happen. I love that. And then, the future ain't what it used to be, is my final quote that I love. I think it fits everybody. I think it suits our podcast. It suits everybody. We just think about that. Our future ain't what it used to be. Is just a great quote. So
I love Yogi Berra, and I think those are great quotes.
These are my four favorites. So,
but it just seems like sometimes old time sports athletes get made into these people that almost made fun of, like Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker, though.
But I'm just as an example.
I love the Uecker-isms.
As an example.
I love the Yogi Berra-isms.
There were so many great athletes that, after their time, maybe they didn't, make themselves as they were when they're athletes, and people made fun of them, and they became people that were almost different people.
Gavin, how old are you?
29.
Holy shit, you're 29.
Okay, drop that question.
Forget this.
Because new answer.
All right, so
Gavin,
this might be all fucked up at this point.
37.
I'm basically saying,
what were you going for, Dia?
Oh my, illegal.
Shit. All right, so you're older, way older than I thought you would be.
Okay.
But I was thinking.
So make your point. Let's hear it.
Do you know who Bob Uecker is? Do you know the Bob Uecker-ism that we're all talking about, where you're sitting in the Uecker seats, which are way out in left field?
No, but I'm not really a baseball fan.
Yeah, nobody knows what you're talking about, Grandpa.
So that's a point, just because of my age, number one. But does Yogi Berra and any of these Yogi Berra-isms, do you get any of those? Have you heard any of them? These old man talk? You tell me, what is the speak that I say?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely old man talk, but it's...
it's humorous.
Yeah, it's humorous. What's the other really, really famous Yogi Berra quote, though? There's one that he's most known for in my mind.
Hey, boo-boo.
That's not Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra. Picnic basket one? That's not really...
But you say, O.J. Simpson. Oh, yeah, that guy, Naked Gun.
Oh, it's deja vu all over again. That's the one that I remember most. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But these are the ones that I was I remember hearing him say those on TV during games or in interviews that were, during the Sunday night recap. And you're like,
you know what? I'm
okay, old man.
How old did you think I was?
24.
Yeah, 17.
I got here when I was 25.
Jesus.
Time flies.
Remember that one quote from John
Featuring
Amos?
What it used to be.
I want to kiss you.
John Amos,
yeah. That's my favorite.
You like that one?
I'm joking.
He's a whore.
John, you were talking about, like, athletes not getting treated properly. That's what I interpreted. In their dotage kind of thing.
In their later years, the younger generation, like Gavin, doesn't really know what they've done. They just kind of like, oh, it's Joe Namath. He's some old guy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sure.
You know, they don't know his records and his history.
But that's why
that's true for everyone.
Guys, yes. That's why they trade, you know, they bring them out and put them, you know, with the Joe Namath, they put them with the cute little sideline reporter, and then he tries to kiss them. It's not a good thing.
But that's not their problem. I think it's the organization. I think some organizations have done a good job of keeping with the history. Like the Blackhawks here in Chicago had a campaign when their new owner took over. He said, we have to bring back the history.
Yeah.
And they really started involving the still living members of old teams that are still alive. And I think
organizations
that
makes a big... do that. Sports fans do that with their kids, obviously. They talk about the history and the legacy that is, you know, kind of going forward.
Right.
You know, the free agency of our world today has kind of, now you want to get old man talk.
Yikes.
It's really kind of watered a lot of that down because the organization is no longer the organization. Because you would have said, you know, like Walter Payton was a Chicago Bear from the time that he started to the time that he finished. He was a Chicago Bear. Guess what? Matt Forte is going to move on and he's going to go, current Chicago Bear running back, going to go play for, you know, whomever. Baltimore next year because we're going to be done with him and he's going to, like, win a Super Bowl somewhere else and he won't be a Chicago Bear from day one to day end.
And that was because of that Reggie White lawsuit, right, that opened up NFL free agency.
And this is good for the athletes because obviously they can make their deals, right?
Yeah. So I think there's definitely a certain amount of irreverence, but I think it also depends on the personality. Like, nobody's making fun of Dick Butkus, you know. People are kind of making fun of Ditka because he's crazy, you know. But
what he's in my son's favorite movie, Kicking and Screaming.
And he was great in that? Or was he terrible in that?
For a six-year-old, he's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, that's a soccer movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Will Ferrell's in that,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's,
but anyway.
Yeah. So,
But I agree. Yeah.
God, how did we get on? Oh, Yogi Berra. That's how we got on.
Deanne's 90 seconds.
I really wanted to bring
killed 90 seconds
of Yogi Berra. I think it was valuable. I like. He had so many quotes. He's part of history.
We'll decide that at editing time, Deanne. Yeah.
Wait, I get to cut that down to 90 seconds? Excellent.
Well, Deanne's editing, I thought, so he can do what he wants.
That's a good point. I say that every week, and it never happens.
What do you got?
What?
No, I think it has the post-it note.
I do have a post-it
Deanne's
note of a few
so
topics.
Deanne's so good with the segues. So, what else?
I've decided not to retort anything that said last week.
What?
We're not retorting last week, but I will say that the Pope is in our hemisphere.
Do you feel his presence?
Get the Pope out of my hemisphere, man.
I will say that there's DNA on every glass on that table from you.
Oh, so there is going to be no retort, and yet there's the retort.
There's a retort there. That's a big retort. And DNA and the Pope in the same sentence? I mean,
I don't know where we're going with this.
Yeah, you better.
I think we should probably
move on.
What you got, Aaron?
As the devout Catholic that I am.
Yeah. I don't even know Pope hats.
I had a few. I guess we could talk of a few things.
What do you got?
Well, I had some transformation joking things. I had some.
You guys are terrible at this game. You think about what you're
supposed
might
to just like throw
up.
It in, like, oh, matter of fact, blah blah blah.
Did anybody read The Martian?
Yeah.
The Martian.
You're ruining it.
No, never read The Martian.
Nobody read The Martian. You know, you know The Martian, the story. Do you know that there's a movie coming out called The Martian?
I'm
yes.
Aware.
Who did I just say this to? Oh, last night I said it to somebody I was spending the night with, and they said, nobody's going to see that. 11 people, maybe.
But I disagree. Anyway, continue.
I totally disagree, and I disagree because I'm halfway through the book, and it's consuming me. It is, it's great.
Are you reading that e-reader or paperback? Because there was a headline today that the e-readers have been on the decline as of very recent, and paperbacks are
coming back.
Yes, against popular thought.
I am reading in a Kindle reader.
Got it.
On an iPad, but in Kindle. And I'm getting a head shake, so apparently that's totally wrong.
I hate reading on those. Keep going.
The point is, it is it's a gripping tale, and it's worth a read. So if you're thinking about watching the movie, if you see the previews and you're going, that looks pretty cool, you might want to pick up the book and get through it.
Do you picture Matt Damon, now that you know he's in the movie, when you're reading it?
Actually, yes. I mean, knowing the character in the book, yes, I can see him totally doing it. Think of smart-assy, you know, Ocean's 11 kind of...
Oh, dick.
How about these fucking Damon. Apples?
Yes.
So next week we're going to spin off Worldwide IT Guys Book Club.
Book Club, right. The Martian.
Podcast, so...
This is not a book...
Book Club.
And we're going to take 90 seconds.
And holy just shit.
Go through our lows.
Topical entertainment news.
Real 90 seconds or a Dion?
A Dion 90 seconds, okay. Which is like a good 15 minutes.
Yeah. All right, so real quick, what's everybody's favorite book?
Real quick, is that 90 seconds?
What's everybody's
quick?
Favorite book? Book Club. What's your favorite book you read?
Oh, my God.
Favorite book?
Yeah, go.
Wow.
All the way back to high school. Go.
I really enjoyed The Iger Sanction when I was growing up.
That sounds
was
great.
A book
Irk, you?
I can't answer that question. I have no idea.
Books. He's never read
I really can't read.
Book?
No idea.
Devil in White City.
Oh, that was good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you like both parts or just the...
I read the first one.
I meant like the story has like the two stories, World's Fair and then the murderer or whatever.
Yeah. Nice. I can't wait to see the movie, which they got Leonardo
really?
To do the...
That's new?
Yep.
It's nice. A Chicago book for those that don't know
nice.
That book.
And then Was it the Clemency of Dunces? What's that book?
Confederacy of Dunces.
Confederacy of Dunces. Yeah, it's
awesome
a good book. Yeah. So John's got like two or three. Anybody else got a book?
What you're going? What about you? I mean, all I read is I read like Goodnight.
The history of the Chicago.
Chicago.
White Sox.
Goodnight. Seattle. This is all
Vinnie
I read.
Vinnie Minoso's story.
Besides those all White Sox, all the time Blackhawks books, I would say my favorite book from school was Brave New World, Aldous Huxley. I love Brave New World.
Have you read Camaro Owners for Dummies?
Absolutely.
This is your fault for bringing up the book club podcast.
I just wanted to do a quick, like, 1 minute of book club, like, tell us your favorite book, and if it was, like, Harry Potter, Gavin, you just
Order of the Phoenix.
I go through cycles of favorites. My current favorite series that I've been rereading four or five times now is Game of Thrones.
George.
But a book that's meaningful to me is Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which talks about human beings and how they relate
to whales.
That's supposed to be great.
Yeah, it's really good. I read it when I was 18, and it just, like, it really hit me. So that stays with me.
Oh, God, it blows me out of the water. I thought I was good with the fucking Aldous Huxley Brave New
I don't know what that is. I never read any of the books in school.
You didn't read Brave New World?
No. I didn't read it.
Mm-mm. I didn't read it.
But, you know, some of us are, like, just turning 25.
Did you think I was, like, 25 still?
If you like sex and racism, read Brave New World.
Well, can we say one of those things?
Yeah. Does it have to be both?
I mean, you're going back to your Volkswagen original sort of start there with your Nazi tendencies.
And then there's just porn. You want just the porn book to read?
Yes, that's what we want. Yeah,
we got to keep going.
Moving on.
Does anybody want to talk about the Pope?
I want to talk about a work thing.
So after porn, let's talk about the Pope.
No, I want to talk I want to talk about a work thing, which I think is funny that our company, we're continuing to outsource different things. And maybe that's sort of where, all services for businesses are going. But we've outsourced sort of two things. One thing that I know of recently, which was sort of trying to award recognition to to employees like around the company. So if we have recently purchased a service that lets me say, Gavin did great work today, but I don't want to just tell him that in an email. I want to honor him by sort of giving him X amount of points, making a gesture. And so this tool will let me give him anywhere from 1 point to, you know, X number of points.
Could you say that it's like, hey, Gavin,
You earned it.
You earned it. Yes, that's right.
That kind of a thing.
You get X company bucks, and he can spend those bucks on all kinds of different things.
You've done a great job, so here's 3 points.
Here's 3 points, which is 1/99th% of a Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've outsourced this service, and I think it is kind of a fun idea, given the fact that our company wasn't really doing anything to sort of, I think, allow colleagues to sort of do just give each other good gestures. The company itself probably doesn't do a very good job of giving gestures or making gestures to their employees. So this lets the employees themselves do it for themselves. But so that's kind of fun. But then I recently heard that we're thinking about outsourcing acknowledging people's anniversaries, which I think, again, is sort of a little bit of a failure of our company as a whole. Just sort of we can't do a minimal thing of sort of knowing that it's your 5, 10, 15, 20, even 25th year anniversary at an organization, and you can't be bothered to sort of somebody can own up to that. And maybe because we're such a wide, sort of awkwardly spread across the globe company, although I think what I read was this service is just for North America. So, sorry, other regions.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just for North America?
So other regions will, maybe other regions don't have this problem, but North American HR just can't get their crap together.
So to be fair, I just logged in to our little recognition system to look, and it's telling me that someone in my group, in my sort of world of influence, is having an anniversary.
So they will do automatic sort of recognition. So you can set up within this tool, not the new tool we're thinking about purchasing, but the existing point-giving tool, that on somebody's anniversary, you should give them 5,000 points or something like that. They have that, which we could, I think it's a new feature.
Oh, okay, because I can't possibly give that many points. I don't have that many
points. But HR could configure this. Anyway, I like the ability to give people points, but I think it's kind of sad that we sort of can't, or for a long time we've been not doing this as ourselves, like just sort of owning up to the fact that
should we treat
our employees well.
So your point is valid and useful. I want to go to a little bit more of a competitive place.
Sure.
So Irk, right? What exactly does your point tally look like?
How many I've accumulated?
Mm-hmm. So you apparently have.
Oh, you're an admin.
3,300 points.
Nice.
Wow.
Dude,
thank you.
Dude, you can get lots.
So, I'm at 2,100. I'm only at 2,100.
Okay,
like
I was gonna
like
ask.
1,000.
Well, some of us work a lot
who's
harder.
Who's got more points? In
not
the
me.
Not I.
I'm ready for like a $20 gift card to like Target. I'm ready for that.
So, Dion, you're about 2,000.
I'm at 2,000.
2,177 is my.
I gave you 500 of those. And you for a ham sandwich?
You didn't give me 500.
This says 2,001. So what's wrong with the admin interface versus what he's looking at?
Or did you write some shitty code?
I didn't build this system, by the way.
That's just interesting.
I don't understand. What are you saying is the discrepancy?
So if I look at a person because I'm administrative, I can see your redeeming points and your giving points.
Sure.
So I have 2,200 that I can redeem.
Yes.
Dion said 2,001 for me. But he's saying he had 2,100 points or something.
2,177 redemption balance.
That's so is that what you see when you look up Dion?
No, that's what I'm saying. 2,001.
Hmm. Well, there's a bug in it. I mean, I'd have to go. I don't have my laptop in front of me. I'd have to look. But 30-something sounds right.
I mean, I do create like a service account a week and then assign myself all those points and then cash those in.
Well, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
did you cash any in?
And then
did you cash them in?
So, but when this, but did,
I'm
should
joking.
We, should but. We talk about the circle jerk that happened?
Oh, shit.
That happened when this tool first got released?
Dude, Dallas.
Not to coin my own term. This
wait,
is not
I said that. Come on.
Yeah, I wasn't going to name who said it to begin with. But anyway, jokes aside, when we first launched this tool, some people realized quickly that what's to stop me from giving you all of my points and you giving me all of your points, and that way I can quickly get a gift card to Target, Starbucks.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
I don't know if HR came down on them at all and said, void those points. But anyway, it was fun to see the thing exploited. But I think it's hysterical that you're logged in as your work user. It's not like you're an anonymous person. It's not like, you know, you have a job to conduct yourself at. it's kind of, that goes back to when we built an intranet for a long time, and every time we kind of talk about putting content out there without like moderation components to it, we're always worried about somebody using profanity or doing something. And it's like, this is a business workplace. This isn't Facebook. This isn't Twitter where you can sort of be anonymous. This was
day one, right?
Right. And I don't understand, you know, we're always so fearful of people being idiots, but it's like, let people be idiots. Let them get fired. Why not?
Like, exactly.
Well, isn't like that one site that you put up where it would show Twitter feeds, okay, or whatever, and then pictures?
Yes. So that's a little bit different. So
why can't I give you points?
Call support.
So this is a funny story. So we had a company anniversary about a year ago. So we turned a very old number. And there was a party for it. There was a around the world party. The concept was each major office around the world would have a party on the same day, starting at the same time in their time zone, more or less. And so this party would be a 24-hour party, sort of just cycling around the time zones around the globe. And what they wanted to do was they wanted people around the world at each of their parties to tweet in different social media pictures and like text, basically to go on this website, and they would broadcast this website to each of the parties, and you could sort of see everybody's pictures and things that were happening around the world. A very fun idea. But as they quickly learned, people did sort of exploit this a little bit with different things. I think we had some sort of racially questionable posts at first that had to be taken down.
Costumes.
There was certainly nudity that came up that maybe not was at the party, but like the hashtag may have gotten used and filtered
in. I had nothing to do with that.
But we know it was a more attractive nudity. But certainly for that kind of tool where it's sort of public everywhere and not quite tied to your user identity, moderation makes a little bit more sense.
That was a fun app to make.
It was a fun app to make. That was sort of, it was not your normal corporate content building tool. It was fun, quick. Felt like we were part of, like, you know, the digital team at an agency doing client work.
Which it should be.
Speaking of fun apps to make, can we talk about You Lost It?
That's right. The concept of...
Oh, you earned it. Oh, shit, you lost it.
Yes, it's a mirror, sort of the flip side of giving somebody's points, the ability to sort of shame someone publicly idea. And I think we talked about maybe taking like 2 days and just building this app. It wouldn't be, you know, super fancy, but good enough to, you know, shame...
Yeah.
Would it get more popular? Obviously, there's not a points, there's not like a reward component, but I kind of think as a joke, it maybe could go viral within the organization.
Absolutely.
A little bit and be just like.
Who is the most hated person?
So what are you going to call it?
You lost it?
You lost it.
Yeah.
You fucked it.
No, we probably shouldn't do that.
See, then all of a sudden that comes with new posts that maybe need to be moderated. All
right, so we're at an hour and 7 minutes.
Yeah, we
minutes,
should wrap this up.
So just.
Yep.
So,
you lost it.
You lost it. Thanks.
Look for it,
Aaron,
in your local office.
Coming 2016.
Way to blow it. Way to blow it.
That's another problem.
Oh, I can't say that.
Anyway, we're the Worldwide IT Guys podcast.
Number
five. Hope you had a good time. Bye, everybody.
Godspeed.
Bye.